right, let's stand to our feet. Your Bibles are open. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. Now that was a miracle in itself, that they didn't kill all those people there when they invaded. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Notice verse 6, the last phrase. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See that? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want us to think a few minutes tonight on the subject, encouraging yourself. Father in heaven, again, what an honor, what a privilege to stand behind this sacred desk one more time to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the pastor and his family. We pray your blessings upon them and on the church and the people. Lord, you know their needs, and you know the need of every person here tonight. You brought these folks here. Lord, no one's here by accident. They're here on purpose. And so I pray that you'll just meet that need tonight. If there's one in our midst not saved, may this be the hour, oh, that they'd turn from their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, your will be done with every person. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. Encouraging yourself. Let me ask you something. You ever been discouraged? Huh? You ever need encouraging and there was nobody there to encourage you? You was all alone, all by yourself? You know, sometimes churches get discouraged. I know several tonight. People are down. They get discouraged. The pastor's down, and people are down, and all sorts of things are happening. And when that happens, sometimes it causes disunity among the people. People get upset at each other, and they get upset at the pastor, get upset at one another. And sometimes discouragement is a tool that the devil uses to cause disunity among the people. But David, now notice here what happened. David and his men have just narrowly missed having to join in with the Philistines in a battle against Israel, their own people. The king, through the hand of God, directed him, said, you can't go with us this battle. Go back home. And when they returned home, they got the surprise of their life. They found their village ransacked with all their belongings gone, along with their wives and their children. The men were so grieved for their sons and daughters and their wives that they talked about stoning David. David found himself down, distressed, discouraged, depressed because of all that had happened to him and his wives and family, and then to all of these other people and all of them. But then the Bible makes this statement about him. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, what did he do? Boy, I want to know, don't you? I want to find out what he did. How did he encourage himself? You know, we all have experienced discouragement. Perhaps you're discouraged tonight. I mean, it looms around the corner. You can just watch out. It's there. I mean, there. Discouragement is a continual battle in the Christian life. Yes. And I'm convinced that the greatest tool the devil uses tonight is discouragement. Now, let's see if we can find out what David did to encourage himself. Maybe that'll help us when we get discouraged or when we get down. Maybe that'll be a blessing to help us out of that. But first, there were others in the Bible who were in deep trouble and in deep discouragement, and they encouraged themselves in the Lord. A quick look at these, and then we'll see what David did to encourage himself. First of all, we read in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 30, we read about Jacob. Now, Jacob was in bad trouble. I mean bad trouble. He was going to face his brother Esau the next morning. Remember that story, how that he had stolen his brother's birthright, and he had been gone for 20 years and had run for his life, and he knew his brother hated him. But now he's coming back, and he's going to have to face his brother face to face. What in the world will he do? What did he do to encourage himself? I mean, Jacob is really down. You know what he did? He knelt before the Lord and confessed his sins. The first thing you need to do if you get discouraged or are discouraged is to make sure your sins are confessed, that you're right with the Lord. That's the key, of course. And that's what he did. He confessed his sins. Now, back in the book of Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 42, we read of another man that was discouraged, that was depressed. His name was Joseph. Remember Joseph? How that his brothers sold him into slavery, and they hated him. They threw him in the pit. And then he was sold to Potiphar, and then he was cast into prison, and then finally he found himself in the house of Pharaoh. Well, through all of that, all of these things, these different phases in his life brought much discouragement on this young man. I mean, can you imagine just a young boy, 15, 16, 17 years old, and drug off like he was, but in all of these different events, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what he did? He continued serving the Lord. You know, so many people, when they get depressed, when they get discouraged, first thing they want to do, drop out of church. Why? Why would people want to do that? I mean, really, that's the first place you need to be, isn't it? With God's people and worshiping the Lord and all. But, you know, it's surprisingly how so many people drop out of the Lord, man. When the bottom falls out and trouble comes their way and all of those kind of things happen, they begin to drop out on the Lord. But not so with Joseph. He continued serving the Lord. Then we read about Elijah over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. If anybody had a right to be discouraged, this boy did. Elijah, the great prophet himself, he encouraged himself when Jezebel, she set out to kill him. After he had taken care of all of her Baal prophets and all of that, she said, "I'll tell you one thing, by the sunset tomorrow evening, I'll have your head cut off." She was aimed to cut his head off. I mean, she hated the ground that Elijah walked on. And the Bible tells us that old Elijah, he took off running. Who wouldn't? When some Jezebel gets after you, brother, you'll run. And this Jezebel was after him. And he began to run, and he ran, trying to get away. And finally, he ended up under that juniper tree. And you know what he did? He called on the Lord. Amen. He called on the Lord. And that still, small voice came and encouraged him. Wow. That's what you need to do. You're discouraged tonight? First thing you do is call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Let's take our burdens to the Lord and let the Lord work it out. And that's what he did. Another prophet in the Bible that was discouraged, his name was Jeremiah. Over in the chapter 38 of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what a prophet. What a man of God, man. I mean, he had the message against the people. He kept telling them that Babylon is going to come. He's going to burn the city. He's going to burn the temple. He's going to destroy all of these people, all these houses. Nobody would listen. Nobody would listen. And they hated him for even saying that. And finally, in this particular chapter, they lowered him down in a pit. And he sunk up in that miry, watery pit. He sunk up to his armpits. Nah, if anybody had a right to be discouraged, this fella did. If anybody had a right to have a grudge against somebody, he did. There he is, sunk up in a miry, dark pit. stinky, smelly. You can imagine what all that must have been. But what did Jeremiah do? In that midst of all of that, you know what he did? He kept right on preaching, same message, didn't change one bit. And the Bible tells us he cared not for himself. Cared not for himself. Even in the midst of that miry pit and all that he was in, you know, so many people, when they get discouraged, when they get down, they start feeling sorry for themselves. And, oh, nobody's been treated like I have. And nobody's been through what I've been through. And nobody's faced what I faced. Well, here's a man who was in deep, deep trouble. You can see that. Here's a man that had the right to be discouraged. But the Bible says, didn't bother him a bit. He kept right on serving the Lord. He cared not for himself. So we got Jacob. He confessed his sins. We got Joseph, and Joseph continued serving the Lord. Then we have Elijah, and the Bible tells us that he called on the Lord in the midst of his depression. And here's Jeremiah. He cared not for himself. So here's some examples in the Bible of people who were discouraged, who were down, and had the right to be, and yet they encouraged themselves in the Lord.
Amen.
Are you like that tonight? Are you discouraged? Are you depressed? Oh, like I said, it looms around the corner. It's an attack on all of us. There's no question there. But what did David do? Oh, I want to find out, don't you? I'm anxious to see. What did this man do in the midst of all of his depression? Here's these men with rocks in their hands. I mean, these are a rough bunch. He had 600 men that was probably the roughest bunch that any person could ever been around. But they stood with him, and they fought the battles, and they did all of that. But now, the tide has changed, and there they are threatening to stone him because their wives, their children, are all taken captive. They're all down, they're all depressed, and they're standing there on rocks. No doubt. No doubt, David was as low as he's ever been in his life. And yet, the Bible said, he encouraged himself and the Lord. Let's see what we can find out. First of all, I point out to you the first thing he did under deep depression, under this awful thing that's happened to them. Number one, he acknowledged God. In verse 8 of this same chapter where I read, it says, look at it, verse 8, chapter 30. And in verse 8 it says, and David inquired at the Lord. You know what? He realized that God was real. He realized that God was on his throne. You know something, when you get depressed or whatever, discouraged, we must realize that God knows all about it.
Yes.
In your deepest depression, keep in mind, God is all wise, all seeing, all knowledge. He knows all about it.
Yes,
everything about it. He knows it. And by the way, he has everything under control. I mean, I don't care about if the shootings take place. I don't care about the wars. I don't care about the battles. I do care. Of course, I'm concerned. But I'm telling to you, God has it all under control. God's on his throne tonight. God rules and he reigns. No matter how depressed, how down, God can work it out in your life.
Amen.
Notice the description of our Lord in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24. Jeremiah 23 verse 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I, that is God, shall not see him? Is it possible for anybody to hide from God? No. Saith the Lord, do not I feel heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. Do you realize that? Just think about it. Do you know that God is everywhere? Do you know that he consumes this building here tonight? I mean, completely consumes the building. He consumes everything around us. Did you know that God is everywhere? How, our finite minds cannot grasp that, can we? I mean, that's too much for us. But here's what we have to do. All around us, the Lord is here. And he consumes the belly. He consumes us all around us. He's there. We must be like David and realize God is everywhere and can help us no matter what's going on, no matter how desperate the situation may be. When no one else cares, when no one else knows about it, God knows all about it.
Amen.
That's encouraging in itself. I can see how that would encourage David, can't you? And then not only did he acknowledge God, but number two, he asked the Lord for help. Look what it says in verse 8, the latter part of that verse. It says, David inquired, and he asked the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He asked the Lord for help. Now let me say this. Isn't it wonderful? No matter how bad the situation is, we can still call on the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, He's so wonderful. And you know what He's promised? He's promised to hear us. He wants us to pray. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, call on me, and I will, what? Answer thee. Period. No ifs, and buts. No conditions. No maybe if you'll do this, I'll do it. No, He said, you call on me. Just call on me. I'll answer you.
Amen.
What a promise. Especially when we're depressed. Especially when we're down. Especially when we're discouraged. To know that the Lord, depression, disease, despair, God waits for us to call on Him, doesn't He? He's waiting for you and me to call on His name. And it doesn't matter where you are. He's still there. He said, I feel the whole world. You can be at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean and call on Him and He'll be there. I know by experience. I served aboard a United States submarine for several years. And I know God can hear even in the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. One time we were operating off the coast of Japan. And a 316-foot vessel submarine, not very big. But we were in the midst of a typhoon. And these hurricanes and all that hit us here just recently, they were not much compared to that typhoon that we were in. They were 75-foot waves. And we were riding that thing out in that submarine. You talk about a ride. And 75-foot waves all around. That old submarine would turn over on its side, and you'd swear, boy, it's going over. We're turning over. And then it'd shake, and then it'd come back up, and then it'd go back over on this side, and it would shake. And then those 75-foot waves, it would take that 316-foot vessel, and it would stand right up, almost straight up like that. And then that wave would drop out, and that submarine would sink back down. And I was in the stern. I was in the rear of that submarine, and that thing would sink 200, 250 feet before they could get control. And those officers and all were fighting to get control of that submarine. Don't you think I didn't call on the Lord, brother, in the bottom of that Pacific Ocean and the bottom of that submarine. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy, have mercy. And you know, the Lord heard. God hears. It doesn't matter where you are. You can call on Him. It doesn't matter what your problem may be tonight. You can call on Him. The Lord wants to hear from us. I was telling the folks this morning in Sunday school about being in Scotland earlier this year in June. And we got with the missionary. And the missionary there was going to have his first service on Sunday. And so he wanted us to come and help him. I was there holding a meeting. And he wanted us missionaries. There was another missionary there and another friend, a missionary. And there was the four of us. The missionary was getting ready to start a work in Scotland on Sunday. And he had this area that he wanted to pass out John and Romans. Wanted to cover it all. And so he asked us to come. And we did. And it was raining. Oh, man, rain. Raining hard. And I picked up a cough. And, you know, one of them whole terrible coughs. Where you just feel bad all over, and I was aching a little bit. And here it is raining and cold. That wind was blowing. And that rain coming down. And, oh, I ached now. I'm just thinking about it. And I was hurt. And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do this or not. I mean, I don't feel good. And get out here and get in this rain and all like this. I'll get pneumonia. You know, I'm a long way from my home. And so I was worried about it. But I got out. And the preacher and all of us, we didn't even have umbrellas. And so we're standing there, and we're out in this parking lot getting ready to go pass out those John and Romans in the middle of the rain. And so the missionary says, well, let's pray. So we are four preachers. We're out here with our heads bowed in that parking lot, and we're praying. And so he says, Jonesy, you lead in prayer. I told the people this morning, I didn't pray for the missionaries around the world. I didn't pray for all the lost people that I know. I didn't pray for grandma and grandpa, brother. I got right to the point. And I said, oh, Lord, stop it from raining. And woof, you won't believe it, but it stopped raining right there in front of all of them. And there's the preachers, good night, this guy can pray. You know, they're like, wow. And all. But the Lord was there. And the Lord wants us to call Him, don't you think?
Amen.
He wants you to pray. He wants me to pray. So in the midst of our deepest depression, call on the Lord. Something else. What did David do under his deep depression? He accepted His word. In verse 8. The last phrase of that verse says, he said, Lord, should I go? And the Lord said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. He accepted the word of the Lord. Hey, thank the Lord for the Bible. Aren't you glad we got His word? Aren't you glad we got the book? Aren't you glad we can read it and we get such comfort out of the Word of the God? Oh, it's something we can trust tonight, isn't it? Isn't it glad? Aren't you glad? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love sublime. Every promise in the book is mine. You believe that?
Amen.
You believe that? Every promise is yours. Every promise is mine. Oh, how wonderful. And of course, this is the secret to overcoming depression. I don't care who you are, young or old. The secret to depression is you must read your Bible. You must read it every day. It's the secret to success. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. By the way, let me encourage you to read that chapter. Chapter 91 of the book of Psalms has at least 18, maybe 20 promises and protections. You wouldn't want to walk out this building tonight without the protection that's mentioned there in Psalm chapter 91. There's about 18. I mean, from drive-by shootings, everything. Cancer, all of it. It's right there in Psalm 91. We're protected. And you know the secret? He that dwelleth, it says in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Lord. You know what the secret place is? You know how we dwell? You know where the dwelling place, the secret place, right here it is. He that dwelleth in the secret place.
Amen.
The Bible. That's the secret place. That's where we're to dwell. That's where we're to read. That's where we're to memorize. That's what we're to meditate. And especially when we get discouraged and we get down and out, that secret place is the Bible, the precious Word of God. You know what? Very few have ever found that secret. In fact, very few Christians really have found the secret, and that is reading their Bible every day and meditating in the Scripture. Oh, that we could get folks to read their Bible. You know what? I believe we'd have revival if we could just get our own people to read the Bible. Get them to reading the Bible. We could have revival. Listen, you know one thing about revival? One thing we need to have cottage prayer meetings. Remember the old days?
Yes, sir.
Had revival, had cottage prayer meetings. 3 or 4 weeks before they ever started revival, why, people would gather in homes all across the church. Church members would all gather together in homes and they'd pray. I mean, they were earnest. They were sincere about revival. We need some old-fashioned cottage prayer meetings again, don't you think? And not only that, but praying and asking God and, oh, get sincere. Hey, get serious about your revival. Boy, if ever America ever needed revival, you know it's tonight.
Amen.
You know, if we ever needed help from the Lord, we need it tonight. All these things that are going on around us. But here, believe the Word of God. Take this book. Let it be your guide. Let it be in your heart tonight. Don't leave the house every day. Don't leave without the Word. Take you a verse of Scripture with you. Read you a chapter. Read you a verse. Memorize. Meditate in the blessed Word of God. David accepted God's Word. Number 4, what did he do to take care of his depression? He was acceptable to God's will. In verse 9, so David went. Whatever God said, that's what he did. He obeyed the Lord. He went where God wanted him to. David completely surrendered to God's will. You know, friend, in the midst of depression and anxiety, we must continually be in God's will. Sometimes that's the reason we get depressed, because you get out of the will of the Lord. Oh, be sure you're in the will of God tonight. His will may not be what we think is best. But, you remember, God knows what we need, doesn't He? Better than we do. And when depression comes, it's wise. Make sure that you are in the will of God. It's easy to get out of the will of God. It's easy to get off the written track. It's easy for us to stray a little bit here, stray a little bit there. Check yourself. Check yourself daily. Is this the will of the Lord for me? Are you in the will of the Lord tonight? Are you reading your Bible daily? That's part of being in the will of God, reading God's Word. That's what He wants us to do. Are you faithful to church? Church attendance? You don't let a service go by unless you're sick or providentially hindered. You're there. That keeps you in the will of God. And that, my friend, will help you with your depression. What about tithing? Do you give to the work of the Lord as the Bible instructs us to do? Are you a witness for the Lord, passing out tracts as the pastors encourage you to and as I encourage people to do? I mean, these are things you can check to see if you are in the will of God. And so many people today, they've strayed from God's will. And no wonder they're depressed. And no wonder all of these things happen to them. David was acceptable to God's will. He wanted God's will to be in his life. He wanted to be where God wanted him to be. Something else. What did David do when he was depressed? He affirmed joy in the Lord. He affirmed. David, listen, verse 19b, skip down now. In verse 19b, David recovered all. Remember, the Lord says, you go after them and you'll get every penny. You'll get everything, your wives, all of them. And boy, they got all of that. They recovered all that had been taken from them, their wives, their children, and all the spoil that they had taken with them. And they've got it all back. Oh, what joy that must have been to those men that was ready to stone David. What joy that must have been to David, who was depressed and down, and the Lord brought joy to him. You know something? The Lord knows how to restore joy to you and me tonight, doesn't he? He knows how. They recovered all that they had lost, and that is what the Lord will do for you tonight. In the midst of our depression, remember, God is able to work it out and bring joy in the midst of sorrow and depression. You know one thing you can rejoice about? I don't care how depressed you are. I don't care how down. You know one thing you can rejoice about? That you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. That you're going to heaven when you die, no matter what happens, no matter how bad the situation may be. One thing about it, the demons of hell and the devil himself cannot keep us out of heaven.
Amen.
Man, that'll encourage you right there just to know, no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, I know I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I know I'll be with the Lord. I know I'm going to be in that glorious land, that place where we sing about a few minutes ago. And the Lord knows how to restore us this joy. You know something? We all get depressed. I do. I especially when I take these long trips, like over to India or going to Scotland and England and Ireland, being away from my wife for about a month or 2 months. And, you know, sometimes I get homesick. Well, let me tell you a little secret. There's no country. There's no place. There's no land like good old U.S. of A. I'll tell you that right now. Brother, I've been around the world. I've been in all 23 different countries. I know what I'm talking about. There is no country like this country that you and I have.
Amen.
I thank God for America. I thank God for the freedom. I thank God for the liberty that we have. And you know what I tell folks that don't like it? If you don't like it, leave it. Amen. Don't try to change us. Don't try to make us something new. Don't try to make us something we haven't been for the last 300 years and all of that. If you don't like it, leave it. But leave us like we are. There's no country like America. I love my country. And I get homesick to come home when I get away like that and I'm gone for a long time. You know what I do to help me, cheer me up? One thing I do, I have found that music, good gospel music,
amen,
will help your depression. I have found that. Boy, I can be homesick. I can be low. I can be feeling sorry for myself. Yeah, I do that too. I feel sorry for myself sometimes. But I'll go on YouTube, and you can do this. It doesn't matter what country you're in. As long as you got Wi-Fi, I can go on YouTube and pull up some old good old gospel quartet and let them sing a song or two. And boy, that picks me up, cheers me up a little bit. You know, good music will help you. Good gospel music it will cheer you up, and you can rejoice. I'm saying, David affirmed joy in the Lord. You can have joy in the Lord in the midst of your depression, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of all that's happening to you tonight. God can still give us joy.
Amen.
Number six, what did David do? He abundantly gave of his goods to others. Verse 23, look at this. Then, back to chapter 30, verse 23. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into his hand. Now notice the next verse. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is, that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Boy, here's what David says. Now we've got all the spoil back, and we got all the spoil that they've stolen from all these other towns and cities. We've got all of this loot. And so these men that had been with David, 200 had been left with the stuff back home. They were, or not home, but they couldn't go any farther. They were just give out. They were just exhausted. And so they stayed with what things they had. But the other men went on and did all this and kept. Well, these other men, when they come back, they didn't want to give these 200 that had been left behind. They didn't want to give them anything. David said, no, sir, not so. That's not the way we do it. He said every man is a part of this group, and he said every man will get his equal share. Oh, David, David had learned as a young shepherd boy that you cannot outgive the Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Boy, he learned that a long time ago. You know, so many Christians have never learned the art of giving. It's always give me, I want this, and give me that, and give me. Ah, learn the art of giving. Giving, my friend. So many Christians, when you give, listen, when you give, there is such a wonderful feeling inside of you. You know, people have done so many wonderful things for my wife and I down through these 52 years we've been married and 53 years I've been preaching. I tell you, I could write a book about all the wonderful things. I remember one time, we have four children. We have three boys and a girl. And my, those boys of mine, growing up, they could eat and eat and eat. They'd eat you out of house and home, I'm telling you. It's hard to keep food on the table for the whole bunch. One morning, we woke up, and I looked out on the front porch of our house, and it was full of sacks of groceries. I mean, sacks of groceries. Boy, we couldn't believe it, man. And did we ever need those groceries? I'll tell you that, we needed it. It was a time in our life when we needed it. And somebody did something good to help us along last way. They must have knew what need we were, and they came to our rescue and helped us in our need. Boy, that was something wonderful that God used those people. I remember one time, in the middle of the night, about midnight, I heard this knock at the door. Boy, I jumped up and I got dressed as quick as I could, and I went running to the front door, and I turned on the front porch light, and there on our porch again was sacks and sacks of McDonald's hamburgers. So, I mean, I'm talking about Big Macs and cheeseburgers and all kinds of burgers and all. I mean, somebody realized that I had some boys that really loved McDonald's and loved to eat them. And we had sacks of them. You know, my wife did. She froze those hamburgers and she put them in their lunch. I don't know how many days they had. They carried hamburgers to lunch, in their lunch, to school every day and all. But somebody did something good. You know what that'll do? That'll lift you up. Do something good. Help somebody along life's way. I used to love to hear Mahalia Jackson. She used to sing for Billy Graham in his crusades. And I love to hear her sing that song. If I can help somebody along life's way, then my living has not been in vain.
Amen.
How true that is. When you give, no matter how depressed you may be, you give to someone else who's in need. And you'll see how that will lift you up, brother. There's just something about it. I was preaching one night after the service. A lady came up to me, and boy, she was nervous, and she was wringing her hands. And she said, "Oh, preacher, I'm so depressed." And she said, "I'm so discouraged." And she was just, so nervous and wringing her hands. And she said, "I've been to the doctors. Nobody can help me. Nobody has the right medicine. Nobody has anything for me." And she said, "I was just wondering, do you think you could help me?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I can." She said, "You can?" I said, "Yeah. Yeah, I can." Well, she said, "Well, what do you suggest?" I said, "Ma'am, here's what I suggest. You get up tomorrow morning. You get you a shower. Fix yourself up real pretty. Put on your makeup, everything you have to do. Put on a beautiful dress." And I said, "You go down to the grocery store, buy you some bananas and some cookies. And then," I said, "you go down to the nearest nursing home. And you go in there with your Bible in your hand and the bananas and the cookies. And you go up to the desk, the head nurse, and you ask her, 'Ma'am, do you have someone here that never gets a visit from anybody?' And she'll say, 'Yes, I do. Come with me.' And she'll take you down the hall. Now, you can visit here. You can visit here. Did you know the majority of people in nursing homes never get a visit from anybody? Did you know that?" And I said, "You go in that room, and you take your Bible, and you give that person a banana and a cookie, and then you open up your Bible, and you read them a good chapter, a good verse, some verses from the Bible, and have prayer with them, and tell them that you love them. And then tell them, you know, somebody else that loves them. Tell them God loves them." And I said, "I'll guarantee you, you do that door after door after you spend the morning there, if that doesn't make you feel better, I will come and pay your dinner bill." I tell you, it'll help you, friend. Amen. It'll help you. Help somebody else. Do something for someone else. It'll help you along life's way. And then last of all, what did David do? He admitted he was nothing. Boy, that's hard to do sometimes, but especially when you're depressed. He admitted he was nothing. Well, let's go over to Psalm, but this is the same David. But in Psalm chapter 25, verse 16, the Bible says this about David. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. This is David crying out to God. Then he said, for I am desolate and afflicted. David said, I'm nothing, Lord. I am just dust of the earth. I am nothing. David learned that he was nothing and God was everything. He had learned that we must die to self, and that's true. This includes everyone and everything. We must die to fame, to fortune, to popularity. Hey, watch out. Watch out when you get to feeling, boy, this church couldn't get along without me. Be careful. Well, I've been a member of this church since I was a little boy, and this church just couldn't. That's what you think. This church can get along without you, but you can't get along without this church.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. Every time I get to feeling, man, I'm really something. The Lord knows how to bust my bubble. I'll tell you that right now. If you ain't careful, you are. You, especially like a preacher like me preaches in a different church every week. And sometimes people come up to me and say, man, you're the greatest preacher I ever heard. And boy, And then people come and say, I wish you was our pastor. Ooh, I get so big. And then somebody else say, well, I have never heard such great preaching in my life like you preach. But then the Lord comes along and I was preaching over in Anvil, Kentucky, up in the mountains of Kentucky. and so I was getting ready, just about church time. So this fellow, he comes in, and he had a pillow under his arm, big pillow. So he come in with his pillow. He come dancing, walking down the aisle, got up here at the front pew, and he put his pillow in the corner, patted it down real good. And then he sat back, and then he put his feet up in the pew. And he was getting ready for a long nap during that service. Well, I got up to preach, and sure enough, by the time I got up to preach, he had already gone to sleep. And so I thought, well, I'm going to stop this right now. That's what I said, hey, you wake up. You sit up. God's got a message. Boy, he got up and he tried to study. And I preached that night. He never took his eyes off of me while I was preaching. So we're standing back in the back of the building. And here he comes. And he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, I want to tell you, that's the greatest message I ever heard in my life. He said, you know something? I said, what? He said, you're better than Billy Graham. I said, really? And the deacon was standing there, and the deacon put his hand on my shoulder and whispered in my ear. He said, now, preacher, if I were you, I wouldn't get too big-headed about what that fellow said. He said, you're the greatest preacher he ever heard. I'll tell you. He said, he ain't heard a preacher preach in 20 years. So you probably are the greatest preacher he's ever heard. Oh, yeah, the Lord knows how to knock that air out of you. I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, you know, we're nothing without the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, without the Lord Jesus, how could we get by? Oh, the Lord is so good. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he abundantly gave. He did all of these things. And the Lord blessed him. The secret is to die to self. The secret is to live for God. The secret is to stay with God. No matter how depressed, no matter how discouraged, no matter how down you are, let the Lord help. In conclusion, let's realize that depression, discouragement, it can be defeated. Oh yeah, it'll return. You'll get it again. But remember, we have David here as an example, don't we? And when everyone has turned against us, when they are threatening to stone you like they did David, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let's put these seven things into practice and see if the Lord will help us when we get depressed and down. What a lesson. Let's stand to our feet for a moment. We'll have prayer. And then we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. The Lord may have spoken to some of you here tonight. Whatever your need may be, I want you to get it settled before you leave this building tonight.